irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig right here on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed you would be, and I'm Michael Sterling.
You are.
Yeah.
And I'm just a sweet transvestite. That's who I am.
Really? Mm-hmm. We're going to start there at that level today?
You know me.
We won't have any place to go.
It's Thursday. I'm in a punchy mood, Michael. Trying to discontinue the caffeine, and it's getting to me, man.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I hear music playing.
Yes, that you did.
Was that your cell phone?
It was.
And here you are,
I know, the cell phone Nazi of the ages.
I know. And yet it's always yours, I hear. Why is that?
You know what? Because I forgot to turn it off. That's really what it is.
Don't lose me in your tech jargon there, Mister.
I think we should
thank our sponsors.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We are grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And you know, Paul, we've got not one, but... Or two, but we've got three guests.
Three guests in one.
Representing
Doublemint?
Doublemint twins, yeah.
Doublemint twins.
There's Doublemint gum.
Useless shit stuck in my head, Michael.
I can't remember my own phone number.
I remember the Doublemint commercial. Can you believe? Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
No, three guests today representing all aspects of the business we call show. And our first guest, who will join us on the telephone in just a few minutes, has been described as a genuine theatrical talent by Variety and has performed in the national tour of Annie Get Your Gun and production. Of Meet Me in St. Louis, South Pacific, Paint Your Wagon, They're Playing Our Song, and the unsinkable Molly Brown. In 1990, she appeared as Peter Pan on Broadway and later took the production on tour. And today we're going to be talking about her co-starring role in Seussical, the musical for the 3D theatricals. That's hard to say, right?
3D theatricals?
3D theatricals.
I didn't have any trouble.
Yep. Which she is... I'm sorry, I lost track there. The 3D theatricals, which she is set to star in. I believe she also used to dabble in gymnastics for a while.
Of course she did.
International champion that she was. And on the phone in just a few moments, ladies and gentlemen, Kathy Rigby will be joining us.
And also joining us today, she is a writer at a film production company as well as being a freelance journalist. She met Gene Kelly at the Smithsonian in 1985 when he was the host narrator for a television special for which she was a writer. Soon after, he invited her to California to write his memoirs, a job for which she recorded his words nearly every day for over 10 years. They were married and together until his death in 1996. Today we're discussing her acclaimed one-woman show, Gene Kelly, The Legacy, An Evening with Patricia Ward Kelly. Please welcome Patricia Ward Kelly.
Hello, Patricia.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Delighted to be here.
And we'll be speaking to Patricia in just a little bit.
And also joining us, Paul, in studio, he is a writer, director, living in Carbondale, Colorado. His written works include Musical Chairs, nominated for GLAAD, Best Film of 2011, which is a love story set in the magical world of wheelchair ballroom dance, and directed by Susan Seidelman. Other work includes Incident at Haystack Landing, Field Guide to North American Monsters, and All Shook Up Cotton is another film. It is his current feature film, and it is his directorial debut, a film starring Gary Cole that just received Best Director, Best Feature Drama, and Best in Festival Awards at the Trail Dance Film Festival. Please welcome writer-director Marty Madden.
Marty Madden.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. Glad to have you. A full plate today. Full plate.
I know, right?
Yes. And so since we have a full plate, Michael, I'm going to ask you about your week. I don't have much to say about my week, but I'm curious about your week before we talk to lovely Miss Rigby on the
phone. Indeed. But I will make it very short and sweet. We had the finale, finally. We've been talking about it on this program for the last 6 weeks. The finale of LA's Next Great Stage Star.
Yes.
This past Sunday, and a title... was given to a beautiful young woman who is a wonderful talent from USC, and her name is Tori Stolper.
Tori Stolper.
Sold out audience and 20 returning judges for the competition. It was very exciting, and a great time was had by all.
It always is. You know, I was supposed to compete this year. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, I had a conflict.
What happened?
I can't sing or dance. Okay. Oh, look at the time. Oh,
my goodness. No. Well, we do have someone who can sing.
This is a great thing. We should tell this is a great thing that Michael does, this LA's Next Great Stage Star. It's like, you know, an American Idol type thing, but it's far more nurturing. How many people have gone onto Broadway?
We have 11 of our contestants on Broadway,
From this
have made
this
their Broadway
springboard
debuts.
From this competition.
Absolutely,
and over 80 in, like, national tours and things like that.
Yep.
It's an incredible service that you offer, and you should be.
Thank you.
Not only should be. Should you be applauded? You will be applauded.
Well,
this I control that.
How very sweet.
Thank you.
Anyway.
And yours, Paul, very quickly?
You
your
know
week?
Me, Michael, I don't have your life. You know, you do that and I bleach my toilet. It's just I don't have the exciting, you know,
really?
Klieg Light red carpet life thing.
Oh, my. Okay.
Well. Now, I do have to say that the beating is, I did a directed a short, didn't direct it, I wrote it and was in it. The beating is burning up the internet. We got on ainitcool.com. It's a short film that I did.
Yes,
and
I saw
it's
that.
Gone viral, as the kids say.
Fantastic.
Doing very
good
well.
Good for you, and well-deserved.
Thank you so much. The world first met our first guest as a 15-year-old who became the first American woman to ever win a medal in the World Gymnastics Competition, performing at the 1968 Summer Olympics in Mexico City and the 1972 Games in Munich. She went on to capture the hearts of millions and popularize the sport of gymnastics in the United States. She has earned 12 international medals, 8 of them gold, after retiring from competition. She has redefined herself many times over as one of the most prolific musical theater producers and performers in our business. And you get to see her live. As the Cat in the Hat in Seussical the Musical, presented by 3D Theatricals, please welcome the unsinkable Tony Award nominee, Kathy Rigby. Hey,
Kathy.
How are you all?
How are you?
We're good. We're better for having you with us.
So delighted to have you on the
air. You are so kind. Thanks for having me, and I am so honored to be part of your broadcast today. What a delight!
Well, we're delighted to have you as well. Now, Kathy, is it Seussical the Musical? Is it something you've done before? Is it the first time that you have done this show? Were you familiar with it? What's your history with it?
My history with it is after Rosie O'Donnell did it on Broadway and David Shiner, they had, I came in and for a limited engagement and did the show. I had about 10 days to rehearse it with a stage manager.
Oh, wow.
And if you know the show, it is all, Dr. Seuss style writing and rhymes, and it was a challenge. It was not only that, but every other show that I've done is obviously it's not improv. It's your script, your blocking, your direction, and you're alive on stage, but it isn't about necessarily interacting with the audience, and so that was a new skill to be learned and was quite fun, and we got the show up, and it was so much fun and such such a great learning experience, such a receptive cast, back then, and then I was asked to do the national tour, and I did that for about a year on tour, and that was about, I think, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, and then I did it over at the La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts quite a few years back, and so this is the first time I've been back with the original Broadway choreography, the song, one of the songs that was not in the tour, Day for the Cat, that they kind of reorchestrated and choreographed to my skills, was put back in, and so it's just been, it's been a while since I've done the show, so it feels like it's brand new, and I'm surrounded by a delightful cast at 3D. And
I'm so curious about something, Kathy, because if I remember correctly, 3D Theatricals, this is the one that the show goes to two different locations.
That's right.
It's at Fullerton.
Yes.
Redondo
Beach. It'll go to Redondo Beach.
Yeah.
Opening on February 28th.
Starts
in
at
Redondo.
Fullerton and then Redondo.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm sorry to ask you this question because I know you've probably answered it a million times, but even as taxing as something like this could be, the Cat in the Hat in a show as physical, a Seussical, a musical. Is everything easy after Peter Pan? I mean, is everything?
yes, okay. Yes. Everything physically after Peter Pan is much easier, and I think it's because it's spaced out a little bit better, more than anything.
Right.
Peter Pan is from the moment he flies in the window and he starts moving and singing and dancing and jumping and flying, and so there, you know, you have barely have time to breathe, and then there's all the other big production numbers in Act Two,
right.
And sword fighting. So yes, there's a different mental gymnastics with Seussical, and as the Cat in the Hat, because there is such interaction with the audience, and of course there is, we call it swimming, we don't call it flying, but there is some, the Cat in the Hat tries to inspire Jojo, the little boy in the show, to be creative, to trust his instincts, to take chances, to let his mind wander and create. And one of those scenes is when they sing Miguel about anything's possible, and they're in McGilligan's pool. The stage turns into an underwater, like an underwater ballet with fish, and the Cat in the Hat swims with the help, not a fairy does, but a nice, a couple wires and
so when you audition for shows now, Kathy, do you just bring your own cables with you? Is
yeah,
that what you do?
I just decided for every show I do, I'm going to just either have an audience flight, or whether it's, you know, Evita or Molly Brown, I'm just going to do flying.
There's
got to be some kind of...
There you go. She was one of the greatest flying Evitas I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, Kathy is not only an amazing performer and a beautiful, beautiful, big Broadway singer, but she is also a producer with her husband, Tom McCoy,
right,
at La Mirada. And they're wonderful shows that they put up, award-winning shows, every year. Year in, year out, and my gosh, the work you have done in this
I get this their season. Calendar.
Yeah.
I get their calendar. It's just the nicest piece of direct mail I get. It's beautifully done, and being someone who dabbles in graphic design myself, I appreciate stuff.
Yes,
like
indeed. And 3D Theatricals is very similar in style and taste and good taste,
yes,
and good theater. And Kathy, you're...
You know what, I have to say about this, with T.J. Dawson and my husband Tom McCoy in the La Mirada Theater, what is happening, and so I think really terrific, is that yes, we all are, you know, we compete for some of the same audience, but more than that, you know, there seems to be, and I have to say that TJ is one who initiated this more than anybody, a coming together of producers, at least with our theater, with Tom and TJ, to support each other a lot more, to say, this, you need to go see this show that's at, you know, in Fullerton, or you need to go see this show that's in Long Beach, or you need to see the La Mirada shows. You know, this is what is being offered. And one of the things that we're trying to do as well, we run the McCoy Rigby Conservatory of the Arts, and we, you know, we have an arts program set up for children to be able to, you know, to learn singing, dancing, acting, performing, and we have these links to theaters. And you know, one of the things that we're trying to get together with TJ and with La Mirada is to be part of that, so the kids get the opportunity to see real live theater and to have an opportunity to watch auditions and to possibly perform. And so that's really exciting to me that these kids absolutely have a real link to professional
that
theater.
Does. Absolutely. Sounds great. We were actually talking about that last time.
That's right.
About the, just for a lot of these kids, it could be the first theater that they've seen. So it's nice that it's up to
and
such a high
I must
value.
Say this would be a perfect show for the first show that a child would see, because
very
it's spectacular
so
in all ways. Special effects. And
oh, I'm sorry, Michael. No. We have to say goodbye to Kathy, but we want to put this information out here now before we chat with our two other guests. We've been talking about Cat in the Hat. This is going to play first at the Plummer Auditorium.
Seussical, the musical. She's the Cat in the Hat.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's the Cat in the Hat. It's Seussical, the musical. Yes. You see how captivating she is? I've already renamed the show in her honor. At the Plummer Auditorium, 201 East Chapman Avenue in Fullerton. That opens February 7th, already did, and plays through February 22nd.
Right.
From there, it goes on to the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. That's at 1935 East Manhattan Boulevard in Redondo Beach. And online ticketing, 3DT, as in three-dimensional, 3DTshows.com. They got group discounts. They got student discounts. Very exciting.
And you can also call 714-589-2770 to do it over the telephone.
Kathy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and thanks for your love and support and all of that good stuff.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day and a great week of shows this week.
Big round of applause for Kathy Rigby.
There you go.
Thank you so
much.
Bye,
Kathy.
Bye now.
Thank you guys so much. Bye-bye.
She's just the sweetest.
She is.
Yeah. And you see the pictures of her from the in the promotional material. Yeah. It's like she's got to have a picture in her attic somewhere.
And this lady is 62 years old.
I know.
Fantastic.
And she's flying
shape.
On cables.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Speaking of incredibly attractive people, Michael, would you introduce our next guest for us?
I will. Our next guest currently serves as trustee of the Gene Kelly Image Trust and is creative director of Gene Kelly The Legacy, a corporation established to commemorate Kelly's artistry worldwide. She is also currently completing a book about her late husband. Her one-woman show, Gene Kelly, The Legacy, An Evening with Patricia Ward Kelly, is currently on tour in the United States and abroad with a local stop right here in Los Angeles on Valentine's Day at the beautiful Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts in Beverly Hills. Please welcome performer, artist, writer, and film historian Patricia Ward Kelly.
Patricia.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us, Patricia. I was saying to you in the green room, I'm sorry that I'm obligated on Valentine's Day and that I can't make it, but I understand that the show is selling very well, so you're not going to have much to worry about there in terms of attendance there at the...
It's sold out, actually.
It's sold out. Yeah. So.
Oh, wow. And this is your return to the
this
Wallace.
It's sold out in January. They brought it back for Valentine's Day, and it's all gone. I'm sorry.
Wow. So it's a sweetheart of a show, Paul.
A sweetheart of a show?
That's right.
You've seen it?
I have seen clips of it, but I haven't gotten to see it.
It's a perfect show for Valentine's Day. It's actually a perfect show for any day, but I think Gene was such a romantic at heart, and he used to love Valentine's Day, and he would start leaving Valentine's around the house for me at about midnight. And some of those come into play in the show.
So now since so many of our listeners won't get to see it now because it's sold out, but obviously it tours and they'll get a chance to see it the next time it comes through town. Can you give sort of a little synopsis of what people can expect? Like, is it multimedia? Is it relating stories? Is it a little of both? Everything?
It's kind of a hybrid. It's a one-woman show, but it combines. I have terrific film clips projected on a large screen. Some you've seen, some you may never have seen, some you'll be seeing in a different way. Gene used to sing to me at night. That was one of the ways that he revealed some of the most intimate parts of his life. And so I have these very, very rare audio recordings of him that are just really compelling. And then I go into the end of his life and literally have some of the objects that were very important to him as well. Somebody called it an on-stage living memoir, and I think that may be kind of probably the closest way to describe it, because it's very personal stories. The comment I hear most often as people leave is, I never knew that about him. I never knew that.
Right. Well, who could be more equipped for that, too? I mean, 10 years, not only the fact that you were married, but 10 years of recording stuff for the memoirs in
some format, and I think it was
if you marry
your biographer, it's a good idea. I mean, I always say you had to marry Gene in order to get the story, because he wasn't going to cough that up very quickly. I was only supposed to come out for 2 weeks to interview him, and we ended up getting married 5 years into that process. But it was distilling it is interesting, although Gene was very, very clear on how he wished to be remembered and was very specific about that. It was more for being behind the camera than in front of the camera, and for his innovations with live action and animation, and for things like Alter Ego Number and Cover Girl, where he did the first thing with dollying and panning and double exposure, where he danced with himself. I think people today, especially young people who are so used to computers and things, don't realize how radical those things were and really how far ahead of their time. So it's nice because people get another perspective on him. They love him up on the screen, but then they get to see how much went into creating these things.
Right. And he's always struck me as sort of the film version of like an Ernie Kovacs type character, because he's known for viewership primarily as a performer, as a dancer, as an actor, as a singer. And very few people know about that other aspect of his life, the animation, as you mentioned, the double exposure. And I think Ernie Kovacs is very similar to that, too, known to 50s television around the Milton Berle, Jackie Gleason era. Great comic, all that, but so many things to really embrace the art form and change the art form, change a perspective of how audiences saw things. and it's interesting.
Well, I think, too, there's another aspect to Jean that a lot of people don't realize, that he was really the true Renaissance man. Here was a guy who spoke French fluently, he spoke Yiddish, he read a book a day, he read Latin, he wrote poetry, memorized poetry, he was an economics major. I mean, he studied history and literature and mathematics and really advocated studying everything. So it was, he was brilliant. I mean, he was a genius. He was drop-dead gorgeous. I mean, he was really an extraordinary man. And so I think what's nice is that people come out and they have a greater appreciation for all the dimensions of him.
Wow. No, I just find the... Do you have a favorite Gene Kelly role when you think back to...
Well, you know what? I just have hold and always have, from the time that I was performing and singing and dancing, was... And I emphasis on the former, not the dancing part. I could never even... I mean, I moved. I was a mover.
But, you're a dance... You're an actor who moved?
Yes. Well, a singer. Singer who moved. Yeah. But the respect I had for this man, I mean, everything he did thrilled me. What could he do that wouldn't thrill somebody? I mean, because he was perfection on the screen at all times.
And
he was
effortless.
Cool, and he was effortless.
Right. Never has so much work happened to make something look so effortless.
You set out to do. You made it look like there was no effort at all. And he is cool. He's hot. He's really, that's what's so great. I speak in a lot of schools and across the country. My audiences are 9 years old to 90. There's no demographic for this. And it's half men and half women. And they get him. And he's still hot and relevant and still inspiring so many people. So it's fun.
So now here you are. You have all of this content. You have all of this information. You have all of this history. Two questions. One is, how do you deal with that emotionally when you have to assemble a piece of theater? And in terms of, as you said, Gene Kelly knowing how he wanted to be remembered, all that being said, you still have to craft a narrative as a piece of theater. So where do you decide where the axe falls in terms of which stories you share and which you don't?
What's interesting, I guess, answering the second part first, it happened. I wrote it overnight. I wrote the show overnight. It premiered at the Academy of Motion Pictures in 2012 for Gene's 100th birthday. And I say I wrote it overnight, but it was really essentially 20 years in the making, as you said, recording him, but then distilling it. But it was very clear, because I did want to include things that people know, but also some things that they just aren't as familiar with, and things that really illustrated particular points I wanted to make. So you'll see things from Living in a Big Way. Most people have not seen that movie, and a number that just happened to be Martha Graham's favorite number that Gene did in that. And so it's really, it happened very quickly. And I think it had been, I'd been mulling over it in my head for so many years that it just happened. But as far as a personal experience, it's very, very personal, and it's extemporaneous. Yeah. So it's different every night. So,
oh, really?
The basic outline of the film clips and the audio pieces remain the same, but I alter it slightly, and I pull out a few things in different cities that might have a particular resonance with Gene. I have some things like for Beverly Hills on Saturday that are particular to his life in Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive. But it's powerful, and every time I do it... you know, you get into the end of his life, and when you hear him singing in a darkened room, it's pretty powerful. And you think it will, after you've done it so many times, that your voice isn't going to catch at that point, but inevitably it does.
Well, if you go to that place, you go to that place.
I have a question, too, because I imagine the wealth of material that, you finally settled on was just a fraction of everything else that he had done and accomplished. But the show, I noticed at the end of the... press information is that it's 2 hours and 20 minutes with no intermission. And that's something, because I can only imagine it's got to be absolutely spectacular and riveting to watch if you've made that decision about not putting an intermission in. There's a reason for that.
And it's the first every theater, and everyone says, oh my gosh, you have to have an interval. You have to have an intermission. People can't sit that long. But I ran it initially without it, and what I found was that it really is a journey. You're really taking people on this course, and if you stop and break it, you break that sentiment, and then you have to get them back. They've gone out for 20 minutes and bought something, and you have to get them back, and particularly as you're moving in toward the end of his life, I'm grateful that people have been going along on the ride, and I get a lot of mail. I get so much email. I always give out all my personal contact information, so people write to me afterward, and I do hear that people say we could have heard more, and it went by very quickly, and so, and people don't get up and leave, so I suppose that's
that's the big tell.
That's some indication.
Well, I also love the fact that theater owners phrase it as though they're so concerned for their patrons. Well, people have to, you know, the theater owners want to sell booze at the end of the day. They want to sell concessions. They want to sell, that's the big, when I was doing the one person show that I toured with, that was the first question always, and mine was a lot shorter. Mine was 80 minutes, and they wanted to put an intermission in. And it's just like, you put in, like you said, you put in the intermission, you've unplugged
did
the appliances.
Did you acquiesce to that?
What?
No. Did you acquiesce to their wishes?
No. Well, I mean, if it was contingent on booking the place, sometimes I would. But 75% of the time, I wouldn't. Because you unplug the appliances at intermission. That's what it is. Everything cools off, and then you got to get back up to speed, and it just can really change the rhythm of the narrative.
I did the show at in Nashville at Belmont University in October, and the kids were terrific. And the students just clustered around. I greet people as they come in the theater, and I shake hands with everybody as they go out. So it's a very personal experience. But the kids just clustered around, and so I asked them. I said, "Is it too long? Did you want to leave? And did you want a break?" And they're like, "No." And then they tell you why, which I think is even more important, because they articulated why it works this way and why the pieces in it. It was very interesting because I was very specific about why I chose pieces, but to hear them tell me why I had, and it, for it to be on target, I thought was really, and I think kids are so sophisticated and smart.
Oh, yeah. We don't give them enough credit.
No.
No. The show we are talking about is Gene Kelly, The Legacy, An Evening with Patricia Ward Kelly. This is playing February 14th, Valentine's Day, at the Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts. I'm going to give you the phone number for tickets, even though you can't get any. 310-746-4000, thewallace.org. But for people who want to see it in future incarnations, what is the website for that, Patricia?
Well, and I always say, if you build it, I will come. So. Yeah. It's an organic process. So if someone wants to reach out to me, they think it should come to their town, their city, I'm more than happy to make that happen. So I encourage them to go to genekelly.com and send me a note. And then I will be announcing several new venues that are coming. And so if people go to that website and subscribe, they'll get the notices for it.
Okay. But, and we'll throw that information out there a couple more times before the
absolutely.
End of the hour.
And go on Facebook, Gene Kelly, The Legacy, and like that. They'll also get postings there.
We don't say Facebook here. We say Libro di Faccia. We're just that effective.
Oh,
here.
You are. Yes.
We are. We're very highfalutin. Libro di Faccia. Okay. And once again, the show, Gene Kelly, The Legacy, An Evening with
so
Patricia.
So exciting.
Kelly.
It is.
Cotton is a feature film starring Gary Cole that tells the story of a reluctant faith healer who tries to escape his darkened past working as a ranch hand for a plainspoken widower and his young daughter. His fragile dreams are shattered when his predatory mother tracks him down, stopping at nothing to get her son and his miraculous gifts back on the revival circuit. And speaking of circuits, Cotton is currently burning up the film festival circuit, 2015 film festivals, winning numerous awards and being selected by Palm Beach International Film Festival, Geneva Film Festival, Trail Dance Film Festival with the awards Michael mentioned earlier, and right here in town at the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival, where it will screen tomorrow at 8:45 in the Regal Theater at LA Live. Please welcome the writer and director of Cotton, Mr. Marty Madden.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you, sir?
How are you, Marty?
Doing great.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
So, now, I've seen Cotton, Marty, and I really enjoyed it. I loved it, actually. Was there, given the, there's some real poignant moments in this, it's a very, very personal story, is there a causal event for you in the creation of this script and writing this script? Is it something you can share or is it something you'd like to share? Like, what was the driving thing about setting pen to paper on this?
Yeah, actually, the whole process was of making the film. This is my first film I've directed and written. The whole process of it has been just revealing the creative process. Because if you asked me just after I wrote it, I wouldn't have been able to tell you where it came from. Right, but as I directed it and we did scenes and the actors brought it to it, I was like, oh, well, that's what I'm wrestling with. And I think it was... 13 years ago, my sister, Mary Pat, died of aplastic anemia. And before she died, she had a bone marrow transplant trying to cure her. And I was the only possible donor of that. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't work, and she passed away. And the feelings that that brought up, mostly the anger and confusion, and just the idea of having a healing gift, and what happens if that gift doesn't work, or what happens if it does work. And,
right.
And his Cotton, who's the faith healer in the film, does reach out to his sister at one point. So that had a lot to do with where I was at. You know, I see, of course, other things that bring it in, but that was the primary inspiration.
No, very much so. Can you give the? I mean, we sort of touched on it here in terms of the synopsis, so I don't want you to have to rehash that. But one of the things, and he's already won awards for this, a great actor, Gary Cole, which we've seen in
fantastic favorite of mine,
millions of things, tons of different things. He's already won a couple of best actor awards for this film. It's so beautifully understated and subtle, the stuff that he does in this movie. And I'm just curious about that creative journey of working with him. How collaborative was that? How much did you work with the actors on performance? Because you hear about different directors. Some are like stage directors. Others just sort of let the actors do their own thing and more technically oriented. Where do you fall on that yardstick?
Well, I guess my theory in directing is 95% of the job is to surround yourself with great people and then just let your thoroughbreds run.
Right.
So the cast in this film are just incredible actors. Right. Gary, Eric Scott Smith, Lucia Struss, all of them are
great. Lucia Struss, great Chicago actress, I believe.
Yes.
She's from Chicago.
Yeah, she's in New York now, but she's originally from Chicago. We actually had a lot of people from Chicago, Gary and Rondi Reed from Mike and
Rondi Reed, great Steppenwolf, won the Tony. Rondi Reed won the Tony for August Osage County.
Yes.
Created the role of the matriarch in that. Yeah.
Well, fantastic. So we just combed Chicago talent.
Harvested Chicago. Which is weird, usually, because when a film goes to Chicago from L.A., they usually don't hire any of the local people. So here you are going to Colorado. Is it shot in Colorado?
We shot in Simi Valley.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was living out here in the time.
Really? I would never know that looking at the film. It looks like not look like it's Simi at all.
We had to computer animate out some palm trees here and there. It's supposed to be West Texas, but how far west?
How far west? No, it's once again with the websites that we're throwing out. I want to throw out. You have your own website, MartyMaddenDirects.com.
That's right.
And also, there's the Facebook page,
Cotton the Film.
Cotton the Film. So do search for that on Faccio de Libro as well.
You know, Marty, I wanted to ask you something. When did you know, as a young man, that you wanted to become involved in the making of motion pictures?
Oh well. The first time I saw them, I was, of course, back then, if you wanted to watch TV, you had to watch what was on in the old black and white movies with.
And when they were on.
And when they were on. And I liked to watch a lot of TV. So I fell in love with movies. I love old movies, new movies, any movie I can find. And in high school, like so many of us. Got involved in acting, pursued that for a little while in Chicago. And then I started, then a lot of different things, because actors do a lot of different things, and ended up starting to write. And I think as you write, not all writers, but as you write, you want to have a little more control on how it's being done and presented.
Right.
And it was just a really exciting opportunity to be able to direct this script, which I had written like 10 years ago.
Right.
And was just sort of sitting on a shelf. But
as a director, do you give some sort of artistic license to your actors to bring it to you? As you said earlier, you used that expression, bringing it to you and at least letting them show you something that they might want to do as opposed to how you've directed it?
Very much. I would say there were just very few key moments that I had a very clear image of what I wanted. And I ask the actors, or yeah, you know, I would always wait and see what they bring.
Sure.
And oftentimes it's better than anything I imagine. I'm like I said, surround yourself with good people.
Yeah, let them run.
But at times, you know, either for a shot or how I'm thinking of editing it, or just a tonal thing, because I've spent more time with the story than anybody else. I know the moments we've got to hit. I might make suggestions, and generally, I mean, if they had an issue with it, it'd be perfectly open to discuss it. But no one ever had an issue with it.
How envisioned was it? Because I read about things like like the Coen brothers or things like that, where they storyboard everything so much that the end result really looks like what they had sort of preconceived before they even started the process. Did you have a definite vision for rhythm and tone? Did that morph during it? Or did you sort of stick to the vision that you had before you started filming?
I actually had a very clear image. The script was so visual and good.
Exactly. When you have a writer like
yeah,
this to work
just,
with,
you know, it makes my job so much easier. but I wrote it the way I wanted to shoot it, and and it was my first time directing, and I had friends and more experienced guys on the crew and cast, and. They'd be like, "Oh, you're going to need more coverage on this. You're going to want to have it." I'm like, "No, just one shot. We're doing this, So there are scenes that are just one shot, and I knew I wanted to present them in just one shot.
Right.
So we didn't have time to get all the coverage that I knew I wasn't going to use. So it was very clear. Although,
how long was the shoot schedule?
2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah,
that's astounding.
Yeah,
but then you see what can happen in 2 weeks. I mean, look at what is it? Whiplash, the one that's burning up. J.K. Simmons, the
right.
one about the teacher, and that was 19 days. Never know it. It's a different world with that stuff now.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah,
musical chairs. That's, yes. I didn't even know this existed. I watched the clip. This is on Marty Madden Directs. Also, we didn't throw this out. Cottonthefilm.com will also take you directly there. Cottonthefilm.com. But on Marty Madden Directs and under your past projects thing, musical chairs. This is wheelchair ballroom dancing competitions.
Yes.
Yes.
People think I'm making a bad joke.
People think I'm making a bad joke. But how did you? How were you acquainted with that world? And from the trailer, it looks astonishing.
It's a pretty great movie. Susan Seidelman directed it. It's a totally unknown world to me until the producer, Jana Karras, a friend. We were friends looking for a project to work on together. And she had done, she has worked with the, I forget the name of the center, but it's a center for disabilities.
Okay.
And she had done some wheelchair ballroom dancing that I didn't even know existed. And she sent me to some YouTube sites, and I was like, this is fantastic. Wow. This is a really interesting world that we have to make a movie about. So we worked for years, as you are with development.
Sure, sure.
Coming up with a story that we liked, and eventually found Joey Dedio, a great producer, and we got it up on its wheels.
No, it's a great. Yeah, it's a great. People should definitely check that out. This is at Marty Madden Directs. It's the musical chairs trailer is there, but it's just so moving and so powerful.
I'm sure.
People describe it like you said. You describe it, and it's unfortunate that our minds go there because of how mean spirited people are on the internet making jokes of that nature and all that. But then to see something like this is just so joyous and. Highly encouraged for people to visit this.
Yep.
Thank
and
you.
Very kind of you, actually, yeah. to be yeah. interested in that, to bring it to, the screen. And
yes.
So, others enjoy sorry. It as well. I mean, just it's an unusual subject matter to approach, and it would take someone that has this kind of a mind to
and awareness.
Be invested
yeah.
in.
Yeah, awareness, sensitivity.
Yeah, it was actually really fun to research and go. We went to the World Competition in Amsterdam and met all these dancers, and it's wow. really beautiful to watch. There's usually one able-bodied partner and one person in a wheelchair, so right. they can do all sorts of just amazing, like almost gymnastic.
Well, that's just it. It's a whole different craft. It's not like here's an abbreviated version of this craft. Here's a modified version of this art form. It's a new art form, and it's really fascinating
and
to see.
Highly skilled, although they do temperate in competitions, depending on the extent of someone's disability. They can, and they do have two people in wheelchairs dancing with each other, and so it's it's sort of inclusive.
Wow!
So,
what's next for you? Do you know that? Do you know what you're heading into?
Yeah, I would love to direct again.
Well, great, because I have a script. Oh, sorry, we're still on the air. So.
Perfect. I'm talking to people about a couple of different projects. There's actually a writing job that I'm looking at. That's a biography, biopic, and thinking about a couple of films that I would like to approach as writer director. Inspirational. Don't want to give it away, you know. Okay. But
it doesn't seem like you're going to have a lot of time. Because, I mean, with Cotton seems to be getting into a festival a week here. So it's sort of like...
Well, I know, my job at the coffee shop, I have to get the weekends off.
But, I mean, you just... So you got Hollywood Reel Independent. That's tomorrow, 8:45.
Yes.
That's tomorrow. And you... the trail dance was just like Marty Madden night. I mean, that was just like three... You looked like Nicholson holding the three Oscars.
I know. It was an incredible night. It was really exciting.
It was best director.
Slightly embarrassing.
Well, all the best.
But the best guy. You know.
So it was best director, best film, best dramatic
feature. Best drama, and then best in festival.
And best in festival. Well, you can't.
And actually, at the Hollywood, we've won best dramatic feature and best actor.
Oh, you know your...
We know that already.
Oh, you know what you won already?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't... They're awarding them on Friday night, but
they award them. Well, they're sure that you show to pick up the prize that way.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Make sure
that. And but they don't announce the Best in Festival, so we're still up for that.
Okay.
So
we'll see. We are talking about, among other things, we're talking about the film Cotton, written and directed by Marty Madden. You can learn more about it at facebook.com/cottonthefilm or twitter.com, cottonthefilm, or www.cottonthefilm. And, of course, Marty Madden directs. But it's a wonderful film, and I've seen it, and I know these things.
You do?
Yeah.
You do. Clairvoyant, are you?
Yeah.
About the success of these types of things.
Yes, and while we're throwing the information out for the interweb or the worldwide net, whatever the kids are calling it these days, we've also been discussing Gene Kelly, The Legacy, An Evening with Patricia Ward Kelly. That's February 14th, and that's at the Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts. And Michael, do you have the information for Seussical, the musical?
I do.
Ready?
I do indeed. It is currently
Kathy Rigby
on stage, ladies and gentlemen. Now through February 2nd at Plummer Auditorium in Fullerton. That is a very historic theater in Orange County, which is kind of exciting, actually, to walk into it and be in that ambiance. And that is located at 201 East Chapman Avenue in Fullerton. And then the show reopens February 28th through March 8th at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Beautiful art center there. 1935 Manhattan Beach Boulevard in Redondo Beach. Buy your tickets today easily at 3DTShows.com or by calling 714-589-2770. Kathy Rigby stars as the Cat in the Hat, and it's a delightful, beautiful, fun, just spectacular show for the whole family, not just for kids.
And it's not called Cat in the Hat, as I renamed it.
That's correct.
It's called Seussical
the
Musical.
I think she appreciated that.
Yes.
I think.
Well, you know. So we're winding down to that time.
It's come to that time.
Patricia,
indeed.
We're going to start with you. For our listeners, this is the point where we ask people to share something that may not have gone perfectly right while performing, some onstage mishap that is either embarrassing or awkward or hopefully both, depending on hopefully no one got hurt, which some people have shared some really disastrous things. But can you share a tale of woe?
Well, I have to say that one thing I've learned in the 2.5 years I've been doing this live one-woman show is that it's live theater and that everything can and does happen. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the tricky things was I was performing at American Jewish University, and I was about to deliver the final line, which is a fairly potent, powerful line. And unfortunately, one of the technicians hit the wrong button, and instead of it going into this beautiful rendition of Gene singing, it went to Christmas songs. It went to Jingle Bells. So we had a bit of a snafu there. So, but you know, you just look at the audience, and if they're with you, then Yeah. You just say, okay, it's live theater. So
you're going to have to.
So you
change,
just proceeded as if that
change
was
that disc.
We finally did get back to Gene, and I was able to deliver the final line. But it is one of those moments where you just think, oh God.
And, of course, all that buildup to that point, you
right.
know.
And then Jingle Bells.
Yeah. So. That's always when the cell phone will go off, too.
Well, I did have a woman who answered the cell phone.
That
and
I love.
Was talking loudly, and the people around her tried to get her to stop. And she said, no, this is important. And she wouldn't stop. And it just became, finally, I thought the people around her were going to kill her. She stood off to the side, got out of her seat, stood to the side, continued the conversation.
But
and
still it, inside the theater.
Inside the theater.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really astonishing.
It's just there's absolutely no sense of that thing that is happening, you know, a dozen feet or so away from you is actually a live person and not a projected image. You know, they're just like, they can't put together that it could potentially be distracting or anything like that.
It was so loud because it was very hard to hear her conversation and try to continue with mine, so...
Yeah, as you know, as it would be.
I think she was lynched in the parking lot.
I tell you, I've noticed that the thing now is not, and we'll get to Marty in a second, but the thing now isn't even so much the talking on the phone. It's now the people that are Skyping on the phone, like in coffee shops or whatever. So now you not only have the rude irritation of someone having a very loud personal conversation, but now you get both halves of the conversation because it's on a speaker with an image and everything.
Yeah.
And that's when I just want to just throttle the person.
You know, who was it on Broadway? Patti LuPone, I think, who stopped the show and chastised the person. And
that went viral.
I think it got a little heated, and she basically... said, oh, no, keep talking. Yeah. We're going to all wait.
It's always a call because you never know. You don't want to ruin the experience. It's hard to know what to do when people are that rude.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's a little out of touch.
Marty, what do you got?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess the first day of shooting on Cotton, it was like I said, we had 2 weeks, and we were having a good day, everything going great. Then at the end of the day, they come to me and say, oh, you know, it's a new camera. All the coating that appears in the camera is burned into the image.
Oh, my gosh.
So we couldn't use a single stitch of anything we shot the first day.
Oh.
And, start all over the next day.
Oh.
So, but it was my first time, so I was like, this is how it goes.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
Just assume that we'll...
Just
we'll
burned into
it.
The image. So, yeah. In post, it's not like, why is Gary Cole wearing such a large hat?
Yes, what's that color code?
Oh, man. Yeah, so how do you... Oh, that had to be... Now, how many... Had it been a profitable day otherwise?
Oh, it was fantastic. And I tried to... because we ended up having to space all of them out throughout the shoot, not just repeat the day.
Right.
And so I was always trying to recreate what we had gotten because I was really happy with the first day. And eventually you just have to say, you know,
just
this is
a
new day and let's just find what we can. And I was very happy with what we came up with.
Wow. Oh, geez. I was just like,
I know.
Flinching.
Yeah. What about you? We've got like a couple minutes left. What about you?
The worst thing that happened to me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was...
I mean, I'm sure there have been many.
Oh, yeah. I was the most embarrassing one. 14 years old. Yeah. I'm doing a birthday party. I used to do magic shows for birthday parties when I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing you do is when you need help from an audience member, you get a volunteer to come up on stage. And if you're working with kids, as I was, because it was like a Cub Scout blue and gold dinner type thing, you bring up someone they respect, and passively you get the respect of... the audience by treating someone that they respect nice. So I figure, who better than the Scoutmaster, who I've only spoken to on the phone, mind you. So I have a little finger guillotine trick where they come up and they put their finger in and the guillotine goes through their finger and, of course, they're fine. Ooh, big, great magic trick. That's what I do. I think Scoutmaster Knapp should come up and help me. Whole audience. He comes up on stage. He's got three fingers missing from his right hand.
Oh, my God.
No clue that he had three. And everyone thinks I'm trying to be clever.
Oh,
never met the man, didn't know anything. He comes up on stage, and he was so cool about it because he knew that I didn't know. He comes up on stage, he holds his head out, he goes, "We're not doing this trick again, are we?" It's like, oh, thank you. But it was just mortifying. 14 years old, I remember 14. It like it was yesterday.
Not unlike my 16-year-old situation stage.
Yes.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Birdie.
Bye-bye, Birdie. You'll have to listen to last week's episode.
Yes, indeed. Yeah,
thank you all for joining us, not only the two lovely people that we have here, but also Miss Rigby, who joined us telephonically.
Absolutely, and please go see that show. It's a very special show that's not done very often, on a regional basis like this in a big, big production. So it is done throughout the country, certainly for children, but on this level, it's a whole other experience.
And that website is 3DT.
3DT
shows.com. And yes. For Gene Kelly, The Legacy, or all things GeneKelly.com for all things related to An Evening with Patricia Ward Kelly, which is a local production with Future Productions. And, of course, CottonTheFilm.com and MartyMaddenDirects.com.
And the opportunity to see it tomorrow night at the Regal Theater.
Yes.
8:45 p.m. And that's on Olympic Boulevard in Los Angeles.
Part of the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival. A pleasure. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Patricia. Thank you, Marty.
A delight.
Fantastic.
Marty, Michael, see you next week. I should know my host's name.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.